John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is a very simple statement that the Lord Jesus makes here in the context of this passage. In fact, what I've done a little bit just a few minutes before the service, that He is encouraging His disciples. The Lord knows that His disciples are going to face the most difficult event that they've ever faced in their lives. And that is going to be His crucifixion and His burial. The Lord knows that His disciples are going to go through the most difficult event that they've ever experienced. And the Lord Jesus takes John chapter 4, as recorded in John 14, 15, and 16. And He takes a block of time, an entire evening, to encourage His disciples. We read His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that He prays for them in John chapter 17. And as the Lord was concerned about the dilemma that the apostles were going to face, the same Lord is concerned about the trials and the dilemmas that you and I face today. And He has given His Word, and He has given His Spirit to comfort us and to console us and to bring us through and to prepare us for those events, those dark days, those dreary days, those difficult days. And He does that to equip us so that we can come through on the other side. That doesn't make the dark day necessarily any lighter, any easier. But it does make it bearable and doable in that He is seeing us through. And just like the apostles came through on the other side and were anointed of God and 3,000 were saved, they came out victorious on the other side of this event. God will see to it that you come out as well. That He's going to take, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You know, if you believe in God and you believe in Christ and you've accepted Him, I do not have to allow my heart to be troubled. Now, there are plenty of things that will trouble your heart. There are plenty of things that will bring you to discouragement. There are plenty of things that will bring you to a place that you seem like that I have no strength, no joy, and no gladness to go on. But let me tell you, if you have believed in God, you've got what you need to overcome the troubles and cares of this life. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And He did go prepare a place at Calvary, and that place is reserved for us in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Did He go? Yes. Did He die for you on the cross of Calvary? Yes. Did He ascend to heaven? Yes. He said, and if I go, I will come again. How do I know that the Lord is coming again? How do you know that the Lord is coming again? I know that He's coming again because, glory to God, He ascended to heaven. And I know He's coming because of that promise. You say, well, that's not much of a promise. It is when He says it. Amen? It is when He gives that promise. He said, and whether I go, you know. Where did He go? He went to Calvary. He died on the cross. He went to the heart of the earth. He rose again, and He's now ascended to heaven. We know where He is and the way you know. The way you know is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Thomas, I can identify with Thomas, not only because he and I happen to share the same name, but also some of the same characteristics. Doubting Thomas. There are times that faith becomes weak. There are times that the vision becomes dim. But I'm thankful that we can do like Thomas. In our times of doubt and discouragement, we can go to the Lord and we can ask Him a question. Now, there are dignitaries and leaders and presidents and kings and prime ministers that you would have a very hard time even approaching. You wouldn't even be able to get email or text message or anything like that through. But let me tell you that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that He is looking over you, His ear is open to your prayer. and you can talk to Him anytime. When you're facing something that you don't understand, when you're facing a dilemma that you can't comprehend, you can go to Him with your concerns and with your questions, and praise God, He will not upbraid you. He will not rebuke you. He will minister to you, and He will give you what you need. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And we see here, Thomas, Lord, we knew not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, has there ever been a time, child of God, that you've doubted the things of the Lord? Has there been a time that you've doubted the work of grace in your heart and life? There's some that have not faced that dilemma, and for that I praise God. But many of us have faced those dilemmas. The devil is a very good salesman. He is very good at taking what he wants to get you to believe and present it in such a way that even the strongest of believers can fall prey to the lies of the devil and make it very, very convincing. And when he does that, he's bringing us away from our joy, our peace, our gladness, our power. He's bringing us away from the place that God can use us and bless us. And when we find ourselves in that position, the best place to go is to go to the Lord with your question. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. We don't know where You're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, He said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Now Jesus' answer to this question reveals the terrible dilemma that man is in. Man is a fallen creature. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all is sin. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. We do not have a political problem, but our main problem is not our political problem. You understand what I'm saying? Our main problem is not a social problem. Our main problem is not a financial problem. Our main problem is a sin problem. And that is a great cancer that man has to deal with spiritually. That the cancer of sin that eats away at our very moral fiber and being. Man is a sinner by nature. It is a sinner by choice. Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 3 gives a very bleak but honest verdict and testimony of man. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, and none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's nobody doing good. Nobody understands God. Nobody's seeking God. They've gone out of the way, unprofitable. There's none that are righteous and none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. In other words, what comes out of the mouth of man is garbage and sewage. With their tongues they have used deceit. Man in his nature deceives. The poison of asp is under their lips, gossip and things of that nature, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In verse 23, all is sin that comes short of the glory of God. Man is a sinner. He's a sinner by nature. He's a sinner by choice. And he will stand before God one day. The wages of sin is death. The word wage is what you earn. It's your pay. The pay of a person that lives a life for themselves and for sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, I realize that everybody is going to die a physical death one day, unless you're spared that by the rapture. It's appointed unto men once to die. But it's not talking about a physical death here. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, is there life after death? Yes. There are two appointments that you're going to have. One appointment is that we're going to die, and the second appointment is that we're going to stand before God. Every one of us. So you're going to stand before God. A person that dies without Christ is going to go to a place called hell. And then at the end of the tribulation period, and then after the end of the millennial reign, that the heavens and the earth are going to flee, and the judgment seat of Christ is going to be prominent among all the universe, and the dead, small and great, are going to stand before God, and they're going to be judged according to their works, and those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which, by the way, everybody at the great white throne judgment, of them, none of them will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll be cast in the lake of fire. And the Lord said, this is the second death. You're going to stand before God one day, and without Christ in judgment, you're going to be condemned to a place called the lake of fire. There's only one way that a man can face God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, in that passage of Scripture that I just quoted, it says there is a way that seems right to a man. There are many ways. And a man may choose one way. There is a way. You may choose to be baptized to go to heaven. You may choose to be a good Baptist to go to heaven. You may choose some type of religious work or some religious system. You may choose a way and say, this is the way that I'm going to trust, and it looks good. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many ways that lead to damnation and destruction. Broad is the way, and there are many ways within that way. But there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to have your sins forgiven. There's only one way to be right with God. Jesus said, I am the way. It is not in a plan. It is not in a program. It is in a person. There are other ways that seem right unto man, but there's only one way to eternal life. Only one way to receive the gift of eternal life is by grace through faith, that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one way to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the way. He is the way that you're going to be ready to stand before God in the day of judgment. He is going to be the way that you're going to be able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus is the way. And He is the one that is the Savior. He is the one that lived a sinless, perfect life. And He is the one that went to the cross of Calvary and gave His life. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He was put in the borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He is the way. No other has ever done that for you. No other could. The great religious leaders of history, none of them were qualified to be the Lamb of God because they had sinned themselves that must be paid for. But Jesus, who was born of the Virgin, He lived a sinless, perfect life, knew no sin, did no sin, could not sin, became sin for you on the cross. Yes, He took the sins of the world. But when He died on the cross, He took your sins. He took your sins. He took my sins. And He paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And because He paid the sin debt for you and for me, Jesus can say, I am the way. Not only is He the way, He is the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus is truth. Amen? Let me give you some characteristics of truth. Number one, truth is exclusive, in that there is no other way. There's not the Jesus way and the Muhammad way and the Buddha way and the good works way and the idolatrous way and different things, or any way you want to choose. There are not many ways to go to heaven. There is only one way, and Jesus is the way. He is the truth. Truth is exclusive, and that nothing else will work. 2 + 2 = 4. And truth is exclusive of 2 + 2 = 3, or 2 + 2 = 5. Truth says 2 + 2 = 4. Truth is exclusive in that none other works. Truth is dogmatic in that there's no other way. Truth is intolerant of non-truth, just like oil and water. Truth and falsehood doesn't mix. If you take truth and you mix a lie with it, then it ceases to be the truth. All I have to do to tarnish a truth is to put a single falsehood in it, and I've ruined it. So I don't understand that. Well, I'll serve you a nice, let's say I have you over at the house, and I cook some ribs on the grill, amen? And I get them all spiced up, everything just right. I provide whatever, I mean, whether you want French fries, or, you know, whether you want French fries or you want something else to go along with it. And we just put everything on there. We've got the sweet tea. We've got the utensils laid out. I mean, there's the dessert afterward. I mean, if we're going to just really ruin your diet and we're going to get you all fall off the wagon, we're going to make sure you fall good. Amen. And have a good landing. But I can prepare all of that, put a cockroach leg on top of that, those ribs. Are you going to eat it? Well, you know, you got to understand that the life of an EMT, that's just the way things go sometimes. The rest of us would not eat it, okay? And if you get one that has a little cockroach leg on it, you give it to Joshua, amen. He'll take care of that for you, get a new one. Now see, the thing is, most of us will say we wouldn't eat it. Well, when you take truth and you put a little cockroach leg of falsehood in there, it ceases to be true. It's a lie. Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is intolerant. Truth is narrow. The way to righteousness is a narrow way. He will say, well, you know, you're narrow-minded. Well, truth is narrow-minded. Truth says this is what will work and this doesn't work. Truth rules out error. If Jesus is the truth and Jesus is the only way, then truth rules out everything else. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Christ is the embodiment of truth. He is the truth. John chapter 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth not set you free, it will make you free. There's a difference between being set free and made free. You can be set free and still be in bondage. But when you are made free, you can be in bondage and still be free. Amen? You understand what I'm trying to say? It's better to be made free. Truth makes you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus prayed to the Father, I am the truth, and thy word is truth. And then Revelation 1:5, he's a faithful witness, a true witness, because he is the truth. Jesus is the embodiment of the truth. John chapter 18 and verse 38, the Bible makes a statement here. Pilate said unto Jesus, when he said, I should bear witness of the truth, he said, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Pilate asked that question looking at the truth. Let me tell you something about truth. Truth is not to be argued. Pilate argued with the Lord. And eventually, Pilate rejected the Lord. Truth is not to be argued or to be rejected. Truth is to be accepted. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. Jesus came to give life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life to the sheep. Jesus, he told Martha right before the resurrection of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection because he is the life. He is the one that gives eternal life because he is life. when man was created and the dust of the ground, and he was there, laid out, Adam, a perfect body. He had, but he was lifeless. But it was when the Lord Jesus breathed life into man that man became a living soul. The reason we have life is because of him. He is the giver of life, and he is a giver of eternal life. Jesus came to give life, not to take it. He came to restore life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection. And in John 10 and verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus makes a dogmatic statement here. He says, I am the way. He is the way to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The only way to see the kingdom of God and to be a part of the kingdom of God is to know the way. That's Jesus Christ. The only way to be delivered out of a life of falsehood and lies and deceit is to know Jesus, who is the truth. The only way to be delivered out of darkness and damnation and out of death is to receive He who is the life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that is a message that we are to herald from this pulpit, that we are to herald over the radio waves, that we are to herald over the internet, that we are to take out on our visitation blitz, to take those, whoever will hear us, that they know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they are to know, and we must tell them. We look here in our text. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And a direct answer to a question when Thomas said, how can we know the way? Jesus didn't give a five-step plan on what the way was. He didn't lay out a list of works you had to do, of money you had to pay, or religious things that you had to exercise. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. You know, you hear the statement, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's definitely true when it comes to heaven. It's who you know. It's whether or not you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even more important, whether or not He knows you as one of His children. And it's through the new birth. He says here, no man. Now, truth is exclusive. It doesn't tolerate anything. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You know how many that talks about? Nobody. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. No man can be saved. No man can have eternal life. No man can have assurance of salvation. No man can have the joys of knowing the Lord. No man can come to God except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. This is my beloved Son that died on the cross and rose again for you. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to ask you a few questions as we bring this message to a close. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Accept Him as your Savior, coming to Him in repentance and faith. Is the Lord Jesus the one you're trusting to give you eternal life? Is He your hope of heaven? Is He your hope of facing judgment one day? If not, I beg you to receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord before it's everlasting too late. You're here in this auditorium. You may be the best church member I have. You may be somebody that's here for the first time. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you something about knowing the Lord. Timothy, who grew up with a mother and a grandmother teaching him the Word of God, needed the same Jesus that Mary Magdalene, who had a dozen devils, who had a pile full of devils kicked out of her, needed Jesus. Amen. John, the beloved apostle, who grew up as a teenager being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ or a young adult who had lived for the Lord all his days needed the same Jesus as a thief on the cross. There's nobody too good that doesn't need him and nobody too bad that can't have him. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I did not ask you if you've been baptized. I did not ask you if you've been confirmed. I did not ask you if you had a religious experience. I'm asking you, has there been a time and a place that you have seen yourself as a sinner, morally and spiritually bankrupt before God and deserving of His judgment? Have you seen the Lord Jesus who died for you? And have you repented and received Him as your Savior and putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone to be your Savior, your Lord, and to be the one that will forgive you of your sin and give you eternal life? Have you received Christ? No man comes to the Father but through Christ. No man comes to the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could go up to the Lord this morning and you could ask Him, what is the way to God? Jesus would say, I am. If you could go up to the Lord and say and ask a question, what other ways are there? He would answer, none. See, there's no other foundation that a man can lay than Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. No man cometh to the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, I'm going to heaven because of my religion. Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, contemporary, traditional. We could continue on the different Protestant and other segments of Christendom. But none of those things will get you to heaven. You may say, I'm going to heaven because I follow the Hindu religion and I'm a Buddhist. I'm going to heaven, or paradise, because I follow the teachings of Islam. Jesus said, I am the way. There is none other. I am the way. Has there been a time that you have seen yourself as a sinner and that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Acts 4 and verse 12, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other. Let me tell you the truth. If there was another way, I would tell you. But there is no other way. There is not. You don't choose, pick and choose what you want. You can be an agnostic and say, I don't know that I don't know. You can be an atheist and I don't know what I don't know. Or whatever you want to do. You can deny the existence of God. But to deny the existence of God means to deny the testimony of creation. That creation, the orders of the heavenly bodies that stay in such perfect order that you've got the same constellations and the same configuration of stars that are out when you go out tonight as you did when Adam looked at the stars. That they have stayed in perfect order for 6,000 years, almost 6,000 years of recorded human history. That the same stars that you could follow, I mean, that's the GPS that has been around for thousands of years before they put satellites up. And let me tell you, the stars are more dependable. You know, the satellites that spin around one day, they're going to burn up and they're going to fall. But the stars are there. They testify of an intelligent creator. The design of your body and all the intricate things that work in the human body. If any of those things would get out of kilter any at all, you're going to be sick and eventually die. You say, well, I believe in evolution. Well, you had to evolve not 1 foot, but 2 feet, not one knee, but two knees, and you had to get everything just right. And I mean, you just go on and on. Let me tell you this. If you see the chart, you know, you got the ape, you know, you got the monkey, the ape. You got a picture of him. Okay. Then you got man. Me, okay? No, I'm not the ape, okay? Then you got man. Sometimes, you know, we act like apes, but that don't mean we evolved from them. All right? There are billions of men. There are thousands of millions of apes. And then you got all these other different type of men that's in between there. All right? If you have multitudes of men and multitudes of apes, then why don't you have multitudes of all the people in between? That's just a little bit of redneck Eastern North Carolina. Common sense to just figure that out. And a post on Facebook to kind of stir it up. Truth of the matter is, you are here by intelligent design. And if there is a God, and He has set the laws that are in place and that work, then He also has a moral law. And because you've broken the moral law, you're guilty of judgment. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to be able to stand before God, because He paid for your sins. The reason that I'm going to heaven today is because Jesus is my substitute. He is my righteousness. He is the one that paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary, so my sin is paid for. But also, when it comes to meeting the righteous standard of the law, He is my substitute, and that He has imparted to me His righteousness. And therefore, I'm going to go to heaven because of what He's done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.